Okay, well, this morning, this is going to be one of those you get out of it what you put into it message. And I suppose in some ways they're all that way. But this is one of those that I think if you answer some questions very honestly, and then maybe respond to those questions very honestly and openly, I think you can get a lot out of this. Now, if you don't, and you play games with yourself and with me, then it's just probably going to be another sermon. And you'll walk out of here, you know, basically unchanged and unaffected. But I think there is some real potential. And I'm diving right in, and I'm going to ask this question, and it's a very serious question. Do not answer it out loud, but do take some time to think about this. If you could change one thing about you that's within your control, what would you change? Okay, the reason I put that little caveat there in the middle is obviously you can't change your height, can't change your eye color, you can get contacts, but you understand what I'm saying. There are things obviously that we cannot change. But if you could change one thing about you that's within your control to change, what would it be? Now, as I said, here we go. We're right into this of you get out of this what you put into it. If you really seriously think about that and maybe answer that question as honestly as you can, I think we're going to go down a road together and might get somewhere. If you could change one thing about you that's within your control, what would you change? Next question that's not on the screen is this. What's in the way? What's in the way? What's stopping you from doing that? What's stopping you from making that change? Now, for several weeks, we have been in kind of this series that's got this really weird name, and we've been talking about these kinds of things that say, I probably should, but you just don't understand. I probably should do that, but you just don't understand. And we've talked about what? We've talked about that we probably should forgive people, right? But you just don't understand. You don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand how bad it was. We've talked about, I probably should forgive myself. But you don't understand. You don't know what it was, how bad it was, how long ago it was, how long I've lived with this. I probably should forgive myself, but you just don't understand. We talked about, some of you are probably glad you missed this one. We talked about tithing. Talked about money. And we said, yeah, I probably should. But you just don't understand. If I did that, then I probably wouldn't have enough. I'd probably go broke. I probably should, but you just don't understand. And what we've done in all of these is what we've kind of taken that phrase apart, and we've said, here's what we're admitting in a way to ourselves. We're admitting that it probably would be a good thing. We know the right thing to do. And we know that our life would probably be better if we did this thing. I probably should. But you just don't understand. Then we kind of unpack it and we say, you know, I think I'm probably the exception to that rule. I know I should forgive other people. I should forgive myself. And probably tithing would be a good thing. But you just don't understand. I'm the exception to that rule. What they did to me was so terrible. What I did to me was so terrible. What, you know, if I did that, And I think there's also, we've said over and over in this series, you just don't understand also kind of covers that you ought to feel a little bit sorry for me. You know, because things are so terrible, so rough, you probably, you know, not. I'm the exception and you probably ought to feel sorry for me. And you know, I know most of you might call these things excuses, but my excuses are legitimate. Yours aren't, but mine are. Right? So, okay, last week we said, what are some of the other areas? We talked about forgiving others, forgiving ourselves, and tithing. What were some of the other areas last week we talked about where we said we apply this phrase to? Anybody remember? Go to the doctor. Yeah. Eating right. Exercise. What are some of the other ones? Oh, come on. What's that? Say it again. Yeah, waiting for God to do everything for us. You know, yeah, that whole, we become kind of grace junkies. There it is. You know, I probably should quit doing drugs. I probably should stop smoking. I probably should, you know, quit getting so drunk I puke. I probably, but you just don't understand. If I do that, or if that happens, then all of these other things are, I probably should get a budget. There's one we haven't talked about. But you just don't understand. If I did that, then I might not be able to, you know, have that phone I want, or I might not be able, I might not, or organize, or clean our house, or throw things away. I probably should do that, but you just don't understand. If I might need that thing, right? If I throw it away, oh, surely I'll probably need it. We know the right thing to do, but, and we know it would make our life better, but we excuse ourselves, make excuses, and we are the exception. By the way, you probably should feel sorry for us. So last week we talked kind of about the things that we know that we should do but don't. Today, what we're going to talk about is not necessarily the things we should do, but we're going to talk about why we don't. We're going to talk about some of the excuses we make. Whether it's forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, whether it's tithing, whether it's exercise, whether it's recognizing and taking a Sabbath. There's one. We know we should, right? But you still understand, I don't have time for that. You know, we know we should, but you just don't understand, and we have all kind. We all have these excuses. Here is a pretty good definition of it. Y'all know what an excuse is, right? Right? But here's how one person defined it. The best definition I've ever heard for the word excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Okay, so what is an excuse? An excuse is a reason stuffed with a what? Stuffed with a lie. Nothing more than a fancy lie. An excuse is something we offer when we don't want to do something, not because we can't do something. Kind of true, isn't it? It's not about what we can't do. It's about what we well, I want to do that. I probably should, but you just don't understand. And when we're saying you just don't understand, what we're really saying is you don't understand because I really don't want to do that. What are some of our best excuses? Think about it. What are some? Too busy. There's a good one. Too busy. What's another one? Not qualified. That's it? Too tired. Too tired. Okay. Too late. Butch, did you say something? Don't, yeah. Yeah. I don't have what I need. It's anybody use this one lately? I'm just too old. Too old. I can't. It's too hard. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I works all day. Or here's, and normally they start with one word, don't they? Excuses start with one word. It's even our thing. I probably should. What's the next word? But. Excuses normally start with But it's too hard. It's too. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I don't have time. I don't have. I mean, yeah. We've got them all covered. Now let's go back to where we started this morning. If you could change one thing about you, it's within your control. What would you change? What would you change? Now I said, "What's in the way?" earlier. Now I'm going to ask it another way. What's your excuse? But you just wouldn't understand. That's right, I know. What's the excuse that we offer? What's the reason that we've stuffed with lie that has brought us to the point that we know there's something about us we'd maybe like to do or change, but we've offered the excuses so many times and so much that we've basically convinced ourselves that this is reality. Here is a... This one will make you laugh. Here is a good definition of I think what we do. And this one's got a bad word in it, so all the kids are gone except Kaylee, and she's heard this word a time or two. So here it is. The only thing standing between you and your goal is a bullshit story you keep telling yourself as to why you can't achieve it. Right? What was the question? If you could change one thing about you that's within your control, what would you change? And a lot of times we don't. Because why? Because we keep telling ourselves the same old story. And we believe it. Here's another one. This is from, this one's a little cleaner. This one's from, you've probably heard of this guy, Henry Ford. He put it this way. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, yeah. You're right. Last week we talked about this guy. Remember he was by the pool and he wanted to be healed? He was lame and he couldn't get next to the pool. And what did Jesus ask him? He said, do you want to be healed? Do you want to get better? And what did he offer? Instead of answering the question, he offered a bunch of excuses. Well, I can't, because every time this happens, I can't get close and somebody else gets healed. And what did we say? What does Jesus basically tell the guy in so many words? He said, remember the four things at the very end? He said, number one, do something. Do something different. Don't keep doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results. If you keep doing what you've been doing, you'll keep getting what you've been getting. Do something different. Let go of whatever it is there in the past and trust God. Four pretty simple things. Do something different. Let go of whatever it is you're hanging on to and trust God. So today, we're going to look at another couple guys who offer Jesus some different excuses, and we're going to see what Jesus did with them. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 9, please. Luke chapter 9, page 720 or 1611. Remember what I told you in the beginning? This message was one of those you get out of it, what you put into it? Has the potential of doing some amazing things. But kind of it's one of those, if you're already sitting there and you're going, nah. Nah, probably not. That's probably what you'll get out of it. But I think there's something that's really kind of important here. Luke chapter 9, page 720 or 1611. Now we're looking at Luke, and Luke is of all of the gospel writers, he tends to write the most orderly, in order and chronologically. And one of the things that Luke was not there when this stuff happened. Okay, Luke was. You may remember, was Luke a Jew or a Gentile? He was a Gentile. He was, remember his profession? He was a doctor, okay? He was a Gentile doctor who wasn't there when any of this happened, so he had to really depend on those that were there Okay? He already had probably Matthew's document to look at, and he already had Mark's document to look at. So he's looking at these, but he had to really depend on eyewitness accounts. And I think one, and I've said this before, and I can't prove this to you, but I think one of the persons that he depended the most on to give him accurate information was a woman named Mary. Who was she? Let's see, she's kind of significant, wasn't she? She was Jesus' mom. Yeah, and see, she didn't have a dog in the fight, you know, about who was right and who was wrong. So I think she tended to give pretty accurate information. And I think this is one of those situations. Look at verse 51 of Luke chapter 9. This first part doesn't really relate to where we're going, but I want to read it to you because in a way it does. Look at verse 51, Luke 9. As the time approached for him, that's Jesus, to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into to a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. Now, you ought to be getting images already of what's going on here. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. Okay, let me kind of set this scene, because this, I think, will eventually play into where we're headed. Jesus and the boys are up in Galilee. They are headed to Jerusalem. If you know your geography, you know that to get from Galilee to Jerusalem, you have to go through what part of Israel? You have to go through Samaria. Who lived in Samaria? The Samaritans. Did the Jews and the Samaritans get along? No, they hated each other, okay? Because Samaritans were seen by the Jews as half-breeds. They were half Jew, half Assyrian. So they hated each other, and normally, if a Jew was going to travel from Galilee to Jerusalem, they would not go through Samaria. They would go around it to avoid the whole thing. Let me give you a little kind of perspective. Do y'all know where Joliet is? Joliet, Illinois. Okay, Joliet, Illinois, up around Chicago, and now we're here in Decatur. If Galilee is Joliet, and Decatur is Jerusalem, what's the most direct route to go? You would go down 55 through Bloomington, right?
Yeah.
Till you get there. What they would do instead was they would go down 57 all the way to Champaign and then come over, because those people in Bloomington, that's those bad Samaritan people. We're going to avoid that. What does Jesus do? He goes right straight through, okay? So he announces and he says, "Hey, coming through. On my way to Jerusalem." What's the reaction that he gets? Zippo. Nothing. They don't want to have anything to do with it. And isn't it kind of amazing what John and is it John and James? That was said? James and John, they saw this and they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" Oh, oh, oh. But you know what, and we hear that and we laugh at that, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to kind of bring this up is, don't we all sometimes tend to do the same thing?
But the funny part is Jesus could have done it if he'd
done it. Yeah, number one, like James and John had the power to bring fire down from heaven. But number two, but don't we all sometimes tend to do that? When somebody does something that we don't like, somebody does something that is different from us, somebody does something that, you know, goes against what we think is right or wrong, we're ready to what? Yeah, let them have it. Off with their head. Bring fire down from heaven. Just get rid of them. Is that Jesus' attitude? No. What does Jesus say? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. And they went to another village. Wouldn't you love to know what he said? I bet it started off with something like, "Are you kidding me? Really? You're gonna bring fire?" Right. This is something that Jennifer's boss says says to her and other employees, this is kind of what I think he said, stay in your lane. Just stay in your lane. That doesn't concern you.
I got
this. Let it go. Stay in your lane. It'll be fine. Which, in a way, doesn't it tell you a lot about Jesus? And the kind of love and the kind of compassion, even when we're ready to bring fire down from heaven, he's right there saying, I got this. It'll be okay. All right, let's go on. Next. Verse 57. As they were walking along the road, so we're kind of in the same flow of activities, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. This is oftentimes the verse that is always used to prove that Jesus was what? Jesus was homeless. Okay? And that's kind of, and what we were saying, that's kind of the point that he's trying to make. He said to another man, verse 59, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Here we are. We've got some people who have been either asked or have volunteered to do something, but instead, what do they offer? They offer excuses. But I probably should, but Jesus, you just don't understand. I have to go bury my father. I have to go say goodbye. You know, you just don't understand. Here's what I think is kind of going on. These people were maybe what we could call Jesus fans. And Jesus is calling them to go from being fans to followers, to actually following him, to being so close to the dust of the rabbi that they get the rabbi's dust on their sandals, to following him, to actually doing what their rabbi does. There's kind of a good question for all of us, isn't it? Are you a fan? Are you a Jesus fan? Or a follower? It's a good question, isn't it? You fan? Follower. It's almost Super Bowl. Super Bowl's next week. We're going to see a lot of fans. And here's another way to look at it. Are you a fan? Are you a follower? Or are you a fanatic? Don't go that way. You ever watch, you know, football games and you see them people and it's like, you know, 100 degrees below zero and they're out there, no shirt on, you know, painted blue, you know, and you're like, are you nuts? I would call that a fanatic, okay? And would you agree there's some Christian fanatics around that you kind of look at and you go, really? Seriously? Are you nuts? I don't think Jesus really, I don't know that he wants us to be fans or not. I don't think he wants us to be fanatics, but I know he wants us all to be followers, to do the things that he did, to act like him and talk like him and be where he was and act. What would Jesus do? Absolutely. Now, let's go back and look at these just kind of one at a time. Now, verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, this guy is not reported to offering any excuses. But what Jesus says is you don't get it. You don't understand the price, the cost that it will take for you to follow me. This is not a part-time thing. It's a full-time thing. Verse 59. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, that in a way, that almost, Jesus kind of sounds like a jerk, doesn't he? Really? I can't go bury my own father? Well, one thing that you need to know, and it's kind of in the way that this is written in the original, you get a clue that you don't in the English. Probably what is going on here and what Jesus knew that we don't know is that this guy's father wasn't dead yet. He hadn't even died yet. So what's this guy really saying? Yes, I want to follow you, but not quite yet. Because, see, my father hasn't died. And some sources even say, not only had his father died, but his mother, both his parents were probably still alive, which meant that maybe his parents wouldn't approve. His Samaritan parents would not approve of him following this Jewish rabbi. I gotta wait for mom and dad to go till because they wouldn't approve. Or maybe I gotta wait for them because once they're dead, then I get a little inheritance, little money. Or maybe he was waiting for them so that he could inherit the family business and keep things going. Basically, what was the guy saying? Now is not a good time. I want to. I really want to, but this is not a very good time. And here's, I think, a good point for all of us. Because if we continually are saying, I probably should, but you just don't understand, and making those excuses, and even this one, now is just not the right time. I'm too tired, I'm too old, or whatever. Here's where it eventually comes to later becomes never. Later becomes never. Eddie, did you have a point?
You know what I thought when I first started reading the Bible, getting to being a father, I always thought that they meant by dead being like they didn't believe in God. That's what I assumed that. That's what I just thank you for my
part. Well, you're welcome. Yeah. I mean, it's not Jesus being insensitive, but he knows that probably what is really going on in this guy's head. And it's not about, you know, an insensitivity to his grief, but it's about, hey, if you keep putting this off, later will eventually become never. Look at verse 61. But still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Here's another one who's basically what? He's doing the same thing. He wants to put off his commitment. And what does Jesus say? You got to quit looking back and you got to start looking ahead. Have you ever wondered, and Chris, maybe you can answer this question for all of us. Have you ever wondered sometimes when you go down you're out in the country in the summertime and you see these absolutely straight rows of corn and beans? And have you ever thought, how did they do that? Because if I was driving that tractor, it'd be like, do you know how they do that, Chris? I kind of knew the answer to that. That's what I figured it was. Did you hear what she said? You look at a point ahead and you drive toward it. Which means what? You don't have any time to be looking back. You don't have any time to be looking in the rearview mirror, because if you're continually looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to be... Oh, that's exactly what Jesus is saying. Quit looking back, look ahead. Now is the time. Here's another thing, and I wonder how many of us have these. Wonderful, beautiful invention is something called the alarm clock. Y'all have one of these things in your house, okay? Wonderful. What would we do without an alarm clock? But there is an aspect to many alarm clocks that I think can be a challenge. And it's this little button that it's got on it. You got it. It's that snooze button. And when the alarm goes off, and I don't know how many of you do this, but when the alarm goes off, what do? And I'm really glad Jennifer isn't here, because I'm going to tell a little secret on her. She does this for an hour every morning. Every morning. That thing goes off. that thing goes off every 10 minutes, and I literally have to go, honey, it's going off. All right.
I get irritated about that.
Yeah, well, it does me sometimes. But anyway. But why do we hit the... And I'm telling on her, but I do the same thing. Not as long, but I do the same thing. But why do we hit that snooze alarm or that snooze button? Because what are we saying in our head? I just need
five more minutes.
I need 10 more minutes. Then I'll be ready. Okay. Do you think sometimes we go through life hitting the snooze button? I probably should, but you just don't understand. Probably should do that, but you just don't understand. Hit it again. Probably should get up, but you just don't understand. Hit it again. Probably should do that. Probably should forgive that person. Probably should forgive myself. Probably should tithe. Probably should exercise. Probably should eat right. Probably should. Boom. But you just don't understand. And we hit it again, and we hit it again. And before we know it, what does it say? Later becomes never. Now here's the interesting thing about this story. Luke, who is so oftentimes very careful to give us all of the intimate details of every story, because that's what he set out to do, tells us nothing about what happens next. He doesn't tell us how these people responded or whether they actually followed Jesus, which I don't know what that says to you, but here's what it says to me. They probably did nothing. They probably hit the snooze alarm one more time. I probably should, but you just don't understand. We all have excuses. Amen? We all have them. I can't, I won't, if I'm to this, or to that. Here's kind of, I guess, the application. Quit hitting the snooze button. Because, and I saw this... the form of this in a quote, and I kind of put it in a little simpler form, but I think this says it pretty simply. Every excuse reveals a higher commitment to something else. Every excuse reveals a higher commitment to something else. What is it? I can't, I won't, I don't want to, I'm too old, I'm too tired. What is that excuse revealing is the commitment to something else. We began this morning by asking the question, what is it that what would you like to change? What you could. What is it that you said you would like to change if you could? What is it? What are the excuses that you are using to not? How are you hitting that snooze button? And what did we say last week? We said, do something. Do something what? Do something what? Do something. Do something what? What's the second one? Do something. Well, maybe here's why you're hitting the snooze button, because you don't even... Do what? Do something, and then do something different. And let go of whatever it is that you have been hanging on to, and then what? Trust Him. Trust Him. Stop the excuses, or as that thing, stop the bullshit story you keep telling yourself about why you can't and why you won't and why you shouldn't and ask yourself, what is the higher commitment that I'm really making that makes me offer these excuses? There's a reason why we sang the last song that we sang this morning. Do you notice we sang four today? Instead of normally it's three, we did four today. Why did we do four today? Because of the very last part of that song, I Refuse. And what does it say? We said, I refuse to turn my back and try to act like all is well. I refuse to stay unchanged and wait another day to die to myself. I refuse to make one more excuse. That's why we sang that song. An excuse reveals a higher commitment to something else. So what is it? If you could change one thing, what would you change? Why aren't you? What's the excuse? Do something different. Let go and trust Him. And let's see what happens. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. There are so many areas that we potentially, either verbally or at least in our mind, utter those words, yeah, probably should, but... And we excuse ourselves in front of You and ourselves and others and say, but You just don't understand. Lord, allow us to see that what that last part is that's a reason stuffed with a lie. It's an excuse. You have promised and You have made available an amazing, abundant life. Life to be lived to the fullest, to be enjoyed by all of us. And maybe the thing that is standing in the way of that is not You and not other people. Maybe part of what stands in the way of that is us and our excuses. Probably should, but You just don't understand. Lord, allow us this morning to maybe go from here in just one area, just one, to do something different, to let go of those old ways and those old ideas and those old thoughts and trust You. And allow You to lead us in that specific area. We know it's right. We know our life would be better if we did. Now, just give us the faith and the courage and the ability to do it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. See you next week.